We have been discussing the work ethic from the perspective of Toraseinu HaKadosha. And I indicated that I would share with you some of the thoughts of HaGoyin Rabbah and HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. I was never really zoche to learn from him, but I've spoken about him in the past. And his brother, my Rebbe, Moran HaGoyin, Rabbi Yossi Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, considered his brother to be a chassid par excellence. Everything he did was lifnim b'shuras hadin. He was also a trained lawyer. He graduated Fordham University. He learned and was a Rebbe in Yeshiva Chaim Berlin in the days of HaGoyin Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner Zatzal, and then later on became a Rosh Yeshiva for many, many years in Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, and subsequently founded the Yeshiva Brisk in Chicago. And he was someone who was a phenomenal human being, full of warmkeit, full of warmth, Yirat Shamayim, literally emanating from every pore of his body, Diktuk b'mitzvos, Kala k'vachamura, Chumris agabi Chumris agabi Chumris. But he did not impose his positions on anyone, and he had a very unique blend of a European, because he was born in Europe. He learned under his father, Moran Ramesh HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, and also under the tutelage of his brother, Rav Yossi Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. So in the 60s, I was zeched to, as a very young man, barely a teenager, I followed him around to the extent that I could. And later on as well, in the course of many years, I was zeched to hear him speak on many occasions. One of the occasions that he spoke about, he discussed the whole issue of the blending of Torah and Chochmah, the combined studies of Torah with other branches of wisdom. And he noted that we have to examine the matter from any number of perspectives. Chochmah or Mada, on the one hand, is a supplement to Torah, and it's necessary towards coming to Avas HaBori. We're familiar with the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and the Rambam speaks about the two mitzvahs of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and the Rambam tells us that one comes to Abba by examining the universe, by seeing the complexity, the majesty, the beauty of Hashem's handiwork. Morabu Masecha Hashem Kulam B'Chochma Asisa Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha. And undoubtedly, that's one perspective that Chochma, as Chazal say, Chochma Bagoyim Tamin, and science and medicine and technology clearly all enhance one's ability to come closer to Hashem Yisbarach. Secondly, undoubtedly, Chochma and Mada are very significant. And what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Rosh Hashanah, it's conducive to the building up and strengthening the world at large. Thirdly, certainly that we've seen, I think, in terms of the shiurim that we have given on Yegia Kapecha Kiseichel Ashrecha V'Toivlach, that there is a degree of self-fulfillment that's also involved in the study of Chochmah. Fourthly, there's no question that a knowledge of different areas of mathematics and science can help us really plumb the depths of many sugyos in Shas, whether it's in Maseches Kinim, whether it's in Kelayim with the study of a knowledge of agronomy, whether it's in Erevin with an understanding of pi, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. And that's unquestionably a very significant aspect of Chochmah of the Umas HaElam. And finally, no question that we want to be able to inspire many of our brethren, and often, and this is not from HaGoyin Rabbah and HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, but it's my own thinking, that for years I've been involved in the world of chinuch at the high school level and post-high school level, And in certain communities, there's no question that if one has a degree of chachma that one has acquired in the course of the time, besides all the other aforementioned items that I referred to a moment ago, there's no question it can have a massive impact on many of our Jewish brethren as well. The Rambam has in a letter, and this letter was often quoted by Rabbi Aaron Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, he writes a letter to Rabbi Yonasan HaKohen that all the secular studies that he engaged in were simply, as he writes, Laharois Lo'amim Basor Mesiofio Kitevis Marahi, refers to the Psukim in Megillas Esther, to inspire the nations of the world. So Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal thought that when the Rambam says, Laharos La'amim Basor Mesiofio, to inspire the nations of the world, he doesn't only mean Gentile nations, but the Rambam is including, it could very well be, primarily, if not preeminently, Klal Yisrael. Especially when, unfortunately, we're living in an era where a very significant number of Jews have no idea of the beauty of Torah. There is value to learning Mada, Chochmah, in order to be able to inspire others, to be mekar them to Torah. And sometimes, in fact, it's necessary to inspire ourselves with the beauty of the Torah. Abban Soloveitchik also often quoted the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Yudah Chosid. He stated already in the 12th century, and unfortunately it's very true even with Baneinu Anu, that we have a tendency to adopt the mores of the Ummah Sa'olam, adopt many of the cultural mores, many of the hashkofes, the values of Ummah Sa'olam. So he writes over there, Rabbi Yudah Chosid, Minag HaYehudim, Afilu HaTovim, HaYosid Tovim Shevahem, Kim Minag HaGoyim, Ben. Or as others have put it, be as crystal tzach as idol tzach. The way the Christian world behaves, la'avdil me'alfal fi avdolos, we sometimes also behave. Even the greatest of Jews have taken on, have acculturated, have absorbed, even asthmatically, the customs of the nations around them. And we're constantly exposed to the vulgar and hostile influences of the environment around us. And therefore, we have to inspire ourselves with the beauty of Torah. So when the Rambam says, he's speaking about Chochmah, La'aros ha'amim v'asor mesyofyo ki tevas marahi, it applies to ourselves as well. Namely, we have to be so taken and so overwhelmed and so driven and so addicted to the Torah, to the beauty of the Torah. That's something that also that is essentially a major requirement. And I'll just add, again, my own comment, before we can go ahead and adorn others, let's adorn ourselves beforehand. So what exactly is the definition of Madar Chochmah? So Abban Soloveitchik referred to a number of places in Tanakh where we find this expression. He first mentioned in Sefer Daniel, in Perek Aleph of Sefer Daniel, Sukkim Gimel and Dalid. There the Nabi says, I'll just read the language. Vayomer HaMelech LeAshpenaz, Rav Sarisov, the king said to Ashpenaz, Lahavli b'mnei Yisrael u'mizera hameluchum en apartamim, to bring from Klal Yisrael, Yoladim asher'en b'hem kol mum, b'tovei mareh, u'maskilem b'chol chochma, v'yodei das u'mevinei mado, to bring people who have knowledge and wisdom, understanding of mado. Mem Dalad Ayin. That's the Lashon used in the Pasuk of Daniel. Secondly, in Dibrei Hayomim, Aleph, Dibrei Hayomim Beis, rather, the second Sefer of Dibrei Hayomim, there also, the Navi in Perak Aleph of Dibrei Hayomim Beis, there the Navi in Psukim Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis also uses similar kind of language. There, Vayomer Elokim Lishlomo, Yana Shehoise Zos Im Levavecha, Velo Shalta Oshin Nechasim Vechalom. This is the famous Chalom that Shlomo Melech had at the very beginning of his reign. And he didn't ask Hashem for wealth and the like. V'yeis Nefes Sonecha, V'gam Yomer Rabbe Moshe Alta, V'atisha Lecha Chochma Omada. That's what he asked for. He asked Hashem to give him wisdom and Mada. Now, even though one might argue the first reference in Daniel is not a proof, because the positive outlook on Mada is attributed to Nebuchadnezzar, who was a non-Jewish king, there's no denying that the second source, namely Shlomo HaMelech, and the favorable answer that Hashem Yisbarach gave him, that you'll attain wisdom in Mada, clearly indicates a favorable approach to the idea of Mada. And that Mada is both a bracha, but also a bounty. The question is, what does Shlomo HaMelech mean by Mada? So, Rabban HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal referred to the Malbim. The Malbim Divrei Hayomim, Beis, over there, indicates that whenever the term Mada is used in Tanakh, the reference is very precise. There's a difference, says the Malbim, between the word Das and the word Mada. Even though in terms of the Shoresh, they're both really derived from the same root. And the Malbim goes on to explain the following. If I observe something through the senses, and I perceive it sort of axiomatically, intuitively, without experimentation, that's called Das. Mada is essentially acquired through experimentation, through what's called empirical observation, through examining carefully, with precision, in a laboratory. Those Mada, essentially, the way the Malbim defines it, refers to the sciences. So these are two different concepts that the Navi in Tanakh speaks of. One is called Das, one is called Mada. There are those people who feel, said Rabban, that only the study of natural sciences is conducive to Avas Hashem. And he does not agree with them, because Rishonim, many Rishonim speak of Sheva Chochmos. They speak of seven different genres of wisdom. The Meiri, who was a prodigious and almost astounding Rishon, first in terms of the content of what he has, and secondly in terms of the productivity, which is almost poshut, mind-boggling. In general, Rishonim clearly had what Rishonim called Ruach HaKodesh of Chochma. And the Meiri, in his Perush on Mishlei, in Perek Tes, when the Pasuk there speaks about the fact that Chochma built a house out of Sheva Amudim, seven pillars. So says the Meiri, Shlomo HaMelech is referring to the Sheva Chochmas, the seven branches of wisdom. And many Rishonim already comment on this. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had seven lights. So what exactly are the seven branches of wisdom? So you look in Rishonim and you'll see that they classify them as follows. Number one, tevuna, which is the power of understanding, of drawing conclusions. The second is darkei ateva, which of course include laws of chemistry, laws of physics. Number three has to do with the nefesh, knowledge of the soul. I guess in modern terminology, we would call it psychology. Number four are chai, living creatures, or the study of biology. Number five, one of the Sheva Chochmas is music. Number six is exactly what we would term probably metaphysics. And number seven, of course, which is really number one, which is preeminent, which is above all the others, is Yediyas HaTorah, knowledge of the Torah. There's a famous comment of the author of the Pasah Shulchan, who was one of the Talmidei Agro, and he says it in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And he writes that in order to understand the Torah properly, we have to have general knowledge. Rav Baruch Mishklov has an introduction to the translation of the Gaon. The Gaon wrote a perish on Euclidean geometry. And Rav Baruch Mishklov has a Hakdama, and he writes there in the Hakdama, in the name of his Rebbe, the following statement. I'm just citing it for you. And Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal quoted it. To the extent that a person is lacking in knowledge of a general nature, that means that in the area of Torah, that lack of knowledge that he has in other areas will impact his ability to know Torah, and that lack of knowledge is magnified 100 times. And the assumption of the Baron that the Malbim, who defines knowledge as Mada, basically is the knowledge of Teva, is not limiting himself only to the natural sciences. In the Ma'amar Kamos that I sent you tonight, Rabban Soloveitchik commented on the preambles that the Rambam has at the beginning before Mishneh Torah. Before you introduce Mishneh Torah, he has the Hakdama on page number one over here, and he cites the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Kuf Yutes, in the first preamble. Ozlo Eivosh Ba'abiti El Kol Mitzvah Secha. That David HaMelech says, I'm not going to be embarrassed when I look at all your mitzvahs and all your commandments. On page number two, in the second preamble to Hilchos Nisei HaTorah, the Rambam again quotes a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Lamed Vav. Meshei chazdecha liyodecha v'tzidkoscha liyoshrei lei. This is the introduction to Sefer Hamada of the Rambam. And he quotes again that Hashem should show his kindness to those who know him and tzidkoscha, your righteousness, liyishrei lei, to those who are straight. And beyond that, at the end of Mishneh Torah, which is on page number three of the Ma'amar Kamos, where the Rambam completed the entire Mishneh Torah, he completed Hilchos Melachim, he writes, Nishlamu Hilchos Melachim v'achibur kulo, and then, Baruch Sha'ama v'hoya ha'ilam b'frotai u'b'chlolai. Finishes Hilchos Melachim, and with it, the entire treatise, Baruch Sha'ama v'hoya ha'ilam. That's we say on a daily basis, but then he adds at the end, "Bifrotai ubichlolai," in its detail and in its wholeness. So, the Soloveitchik family was very into every single letter, word of the Rambam that requires havana, that requires understanding. How do we understand these additions of the Rambam to the text before he begins the Hakdama to Mishneh Torah? In his Hakdama to Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, at the end of Hilchos Melachim, so Rabban Soloveitchik said something phenomenal. He said it over from his mother. He heard from his mother, Aleiha Shalom. As a matter of fact, just as an addendum or as an aside, I was present when the Soloveitchik family lost their mother, and Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Shaber was not masped her at the Levaya, but the Hesped was given by a going Labar and a Levi Soloveitchik Zatzal. He said at the Hesped that his main Rebbe was his mother, Aleiha Shalom. And then he began to spell out what exactly he learned from his mother. And he began to describe, he learned from his mother Chumash and Rishonim, Tanakh, a lot of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Machshava of Rishonim, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the Kuzari, the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, Rav Tzadik Gaon, and he always described his mother, not only as being his Rebbe, but as being a great scholar in her own right. So he quoted, in the context of these three psukim that I just mentioned, his mother. And his mother said, what does the Rambam have in mind? And she said the following. There's a basic difference between the approach of a poet and the approach of a scientist towards human knowledge. There are two different approaches. A poet, said the mother of Rabban Halevi, describes an overall image of a subject, like an entire forest or a garden, a kind of overview that one sees. Marabu Masecha Hashem, Kula Mechachma Asisa, Mala Ha'adz Kinyanecha. But what does a scientist do? A scientist now begins to enter the forest or the garden and is concerned with protim and pirte protim, concerned with minutia, with details, the individual species of flowers in the garden, the roots and leaves of the tree in the forest. A scientist doesn't get excited by the overall gestalt, by the overall image, but rather, the scientist sees a small, tiny leaf in the forest and will quickly put it under a microscope and examine it wants to identify all the components, all the protoplasm, all the cytoplasm, or to use his mother's description, the scientist is interested in the prat, in the detail, and not the klal. The poet sees the klal, has no interest in the prat. So which approach to knowledge is of greater value? And of course the answer is both. Both are essential. And that's exactly what the Rambam indicates in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in the second perek, the first two halachos, where the Rambam describes what I mentioned earlier, how one comes to Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Avas Hashem comes about as a result of a person examining the universe and seeing its complexity. I remember my days of biology, we studied the retina of the eye for several months. And there were other opportunities in microbiology, in the laboratory, where we examine different organisms, even a simple organism like the fruit fly, which is not very complicated. Ubechalzos, one sees unbelievable complexity and majesty of a simple organ that Hashem has brought created. So the Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah seems to mention only the sciences as a way of coming to Avas HaBeirei. But in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says very clearly that when he speaks about Avas Hashem, that one comes about it through the study of Torah. Contemplation of Torah, examining the Torah in its depth, in its breadth. And clearly, one takes precedence over the other. Both are legitimate approaches to coming to Avas Hashem, but obviously, Avas Hashem, primarily and preeminently, is going to be acquired through Limud HaTorah, through delving into the depths of Torah, unquestionably. Just derech agav, again, not from Bavar and Soloveitchik, but all of us say every Shabbos morning, the well-known Perek in Tehillim, Yutes. And there, Hashamayim Misapin Kvod Kel, Umasi Yodah Magido Rekia. And the very beginning of that capital in Tehillim describes the beauty of the Kriya, of the Bria, of the creation. Yom liyom yabia omer v'lai l'lai l'chave do'as v'chol ha'oretz yotzo kabam v'kzei sevil mileyem la'shemesh som oyel bohem v'uki chosen yotzi michupaso yosis kigibu l'oretz orach. And then suddenly in Medis Res, there's a pasuk that's very jarring. It seems to be out of context. Toiras Hashem tmimam shivaz novesh egus Hashem ne'amonam achimas pesi v'kuri Hashem isham isam chidev. The focus on the Terasenu Akdesha. So what is going on here? So all Rishonim say across the board, Pe'echad, Tzvei Dinin. This, of course, David HaMelech was a briska, Kayadua. Everything is dialectic. And so there are two ways to come to Avas Hashem. One is by examining the Bria, by seeing its majesty, the Rambam Yesodei HaTorah and Perek Beis. And the other approach is through intensive analysis and study of Terasenu Akdosha. And what the Rishonim point out over there, that Perek Tehillim Yutes, again, across the board, is that it's clear that one method is preferred and one method is Mu'adaf, is clearly the ideal. And that's, of course, Limud HaTorah, is Beninus HaTorah. That's the ideal methodology of coming to Avas Hashem. So now back to Abaran HaLevi Soloveitchik, that was just Derech Agav. And perhaps, maybe again, another Derech Agav comment. With your permission, this may explain what Rebbetzin Soloveitchik, Alei HaShalom, said to her son, namely the scientist and the poet. Perhaps this is also the understanding of what we have, the Elam HaYeshivas, a Seder Iyun and a Seder Bekiyas. The Seder Iyun is designed, of course, as Lahavdil, a scientist who goes into great detail and sees the minutia and the protim and pirtei protim. And then, of course, there's a Bekiyas, where we get a sense of a poet, of the beautiful, unbelievable, overwhelming hekef of Terasena HaKdosha. Aruka me'eretz midah, u'rechavim in ayam, as the Novi says, Iyov, So both of them are really in place, both the approach of the scientist and the approach of the poet. That's my own addition, taking what Rebbe Zin Soloveitchik, Aleihem Shalom, said. Now back to Agoyim Lavan, Alevi Soloveitchik. So he cited the Kinas Sofrim, one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam, who asks this question. The Rambam speaks about his bainanus, contemplation of Torah, as an indispensable element in attaining Avos HaBeri. Where does the Rambam mention this idea, Mishnah Torah? He's Loshen in Yesodei HaTorah there, in Perek Beis, when a person looks at Maisov Rebruav HaNifloim, the deeds of Hashem, the magnificent creations of Hashem, isn't it redundant to speak of Masov and Bruav, deeds and creations? Of course, there are no extra words in the language of the Rambam or Rishonim in general. So Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik suggested that we have to conclude that Masa refers to the Pasuk, Va'aluchos Masa Elokim Heino. The tablets, the Luchos, Sabris, are called the deeds of Hashem. The Torah itself is called the deeds of Hashem. Now, the wording of the Rambam in Mishnah Torah is parallel to his idea in Sefer Mitzvos, that the first means towards loving Hashem is through the study of Torah. That's the ideal. That's the preferred methodology. That's the Derech HaMuadefet, as I mentioned before, in Yutes and Tilim. So if a person starts contemplating nature before having studied Torah, such meditation is not at all conducive to Avos HaBeri. Aaron Soloveitchik said, can anyone claim to be as great a scientist as Albert Einstein? I would imagine that Albert Einstein, he said, is considered to be the greatest scientist in the past few centuries, even greater than Sir Isaac Newton. Did Albert Einstein achieve Avos HaBeri? No. Is it because he didn't study nature, said Aaron? No. It's because his study was not preceded by considering the deeds and words of Hashem Yisbarach. So we have seven branches of wisdom, which are represented, as I mentioned, in the Shiva Kenei HaMenorah, in the seven lights of the candelabra of the Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal say that all the lights were leaning towards the Ner Ma'arovi, towards the central light. And the Rishonim add, what is the middle branch? The middle branch, of course, the Menorah represents Torah. The middle branch is Torah. All other wisdoms have to draw the inspiration from the Torah. The Torah is the guiding light for everything. That is the centerpiece. That is the epicenter. That is the foundation for all. So when the Rambam writes that Avos Hashem is achieved by, number one, thinking and contemplating, the double expression of reflection can be explained by the two approaches, namely that of the poet and that of the scientist, which has to hold true for Torah. Torah and the Bria are the creations of Hashem Yisbarach. Istakel b'araisa u'bra alma. Hashem looked into the Torah, and the Torah became the architectural blueprint by which the world was created. Just like science is expressive of the physical laws of the universe, the Torah is the manifestation of the moral laws of the universe. Aaron said over from his father, Agoyin HaMoshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, in the name of his grandfather, Agoyin HaChaim Soloveitchik HaChaim Briska Zatzal, what does it mean that Istakel Baraisa Ubra Alma, that Hashem looked into the Torah, that became the architectural blueprint for creating the universe? It means that the principles of the Torah have to harmonize with the innate consciousness, with the pneumius of every human being. When the Torah says, to love your neighbor as yourself, and every civilized, decent human being feels that brotherly love is a sublime goal. Conversely, when the Torah says, Shevich dam ha'odom, domo yishofech, that a person who spills blood should have his own blood spilled, and every decent human being feels that bloodshed, chas v'shalom, rachmana litzlan, is ghastly, is horrific. And there's harmony between the Yesodei HaTorah and human nature. And one could say that when the Bari Olam, when Hashem Yisbarach revealed the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he molded it to conform to the laws of nature, or natural law, which is generally the modern term that's utilized. But Abchaim said that's not correct. Chazal are telling us, why is there harmony between the Yesodei HaTorah and human nature? Because when Hashem created man, He created the world according to the moral pattern of the Torah. The moral pattern of the Torah declared a kind of categorical imperative that lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo signai, it says in Aseret HaDibros, don't kill, don't lead an immoral, wanton kind of life. Don't engage in geneva. And because of that, Hashem, the Bari Olam, molded the human psyche in accordance with the moral law of the universe. As Chazal say, Torah kodma l'briyas olam, the moral law preceded the creation of the world. So with respect to Limud HaTorah, to the study of Torah, the approaches of scientists and poet are utilized in a very specific way. A scientist will look into a sugya, will look into a topic, will analyze it, and of course, Rav Soloveitchik always, I'm talking about Rabbi Yossi Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal now, that he often compared a great Lamdin, a great Talmud Chacham, Lahavdil, to a scientist in terms of this kind of analysis that he subjects every sugya to. And he looks into the Shainim carefully and notice all the difficulties and all the diukim and tries to be miyashivit by either looking at Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Rabbi Chaim Briska. That's the approach of the scientist, Lahavdil. And then there's Lahavdil, the approach of the poet. So people who learn the Daf Yomi, what I said earlier, want to get a general perspective of the Torah in its entirety. So there's no question that that has massive value, very important value to get an impression of the beauty of the Hekev of the Torah. When the Rambam began his introduction, as I said, he cites Psukim. And before the beginning of the Sefer, we just noticed that the Rambam quotes a Sefer, Ozlo Evosh Bahabiti Al Kol Mitzvosecha. I won't have any embarrassment when I look at all the mitzvahs. And before Hilchot Yisrael Yatera, as we noted, he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "Meshei Chazdecha LeYedecha, V'tzikas LeYoshrei." Show your kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to those that are glad, that are straight. So these psukim that the Rambam uses is meant to parallel, said Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, his discussion of the mitzvah to love Hashem, which the Rambam says is accomplished, number one, by machshava, by thinking, and number two, by hisbedinus, by contemplating. What's the difference between a person who is eisek b'machshava and one who's eisek b'hisbedinus, who's contemplating? Said Abaron HaLevi Soloveitchik, this also could be understood in light of what his mother, Alei HaShalom, said. Hisbedinus means the contemplation of the overall gestalt, the overall image. And that's the idea that's found in the preamble to the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah Torah. When will there be no embarrassment when a person looks over the entirety of Hashem's Torah to carry out the obligations of the Torah? If one does not contemplate the fullness of the mitzvahs, one will not come to Abbas Hashem. When the Rambam begins the Yisrael HaTorah, so here he starts with a reference to Yoydecha, Meshei Chazdecha LeYoydecha, those who know Hashem. And the Mefarshim of the Rambam point out that our mission is not just to believe in Hashem, but to know Hashem. Again, as an aside, one of the famous true midrashes of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rav Yossi Dov HaLevi, he noted what seems to be a stir in the Rambam. In one place, the Rambam says, Yisayid ha-Yisaydeis, v'amur ha-chochos, leida she'esha matzu rishon. He speaks of Yedias Hashem. And elsewhere, the Rambam speaks about Emuna and Hashem. These are two totally different concepts, and Rav Soloveitchik developed an entire tshuva drasha on these two concepts. So here the Rambam quotes the pasuk, "Meshei Chazdecha v'yedecha." So we not only have to be imam minim b'Hashem, but we have to have yediyas Hashem. The Rambam writes in the Nebuchim that if a person is capable of possessing, he has the intellectual acuity to understand Hashem in the way of a nes, so one is required to pursue that end. So the Rambam begins Yisrael HaTorah with a pasuk indicating that the ultimate goal of Torah is Yediyas Hashem. And the end of Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam says that he's mashlam the chibur, and then he writes Baruch Shama v'haya olam b'prata u'b'chlaloi, in its detail and in its whole. So here again, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik referred to his mother, to her interpretation, The Rambam is saying, in order to attain avas habere, we have to appreciate the details like a scientist and the general image like a poet. What a beautiful havana in the psukim, in the hakdama, and in the end of Mishnah Torah. In essence, the Rambam incorporates both the principal, the detailed approaches in the framework of his writings. Clearly, the Rambam considered both views, namely in learning Torah and observing the world, part of our obligation to love Hashem. By increasing our knowledge of Hashem in the universe, the Rambam says, we'll grow in avas habere, and chokhmah or mada is a necessity to this end. But in terms of priorities, it's very clear. The main priority and the thrust of our attention should be primarily and preeminently limud haTorah. Secondly, we mentioned that the study of Mada or Chochmah for the sake of building and improving the world. What's the makar, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that we actually had reference to? Yafet Talmud Torah im de'acheretz she yigiyah shneim hashkachas obayim. The question is how you interpret de'acheretz. There are different interpretations, as we noted. Some refer to de'acheretz as working, as we mentioned, the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei, Hanig Ben Minet De'acheretz. But if it means only a job, and someone receives an inheritance of millions of dollars, we don't think that this person would have to go to work. No need for it, Bechlal. So Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch Zatzal had an alternate understanding of De'acheretz. He said that while a job and a livelihood are certainly included in De'acheretz, the greater meaning is progress. All those things that are conducive to the continued building up of the world. And the truth is that way before Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch Zatzal explained that concept, so Rabban Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal said, we find a similar idea from Rabbeinu David HaNogid. Rabbeinu David HaNogid was a grandson of the Rambam. And we have some of his ksavim. And he has a perish on the Mishnayis. And in his commentary on the Mishnah, he has the following explanation. Many people assume that the Rambam only had a positive attitude towards mathematics and science and philosophy, but it seems that the Rambam also was a bit wider than that, and this is what I heard also a number of times from Hagoyin, Abban Lichtenstein Zatzal, the son-in-law of Moran Harav. He also contended that the Rambam also had a positive approach in other areas as well, in the area which is called the humanities, the arts. When the Rambam does criticize poetry, which he does in Perish HaMishnayis and Avos, in Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Zayin, he's referring to the vulgar Arabic poetry of his age, similar to Rahman al-Litzan, to the literature of a terrible, immoral nature of our age. The Gemara in Brachos on Lamed Hei that we refer to a number of times cites Rabbi Shmuel, V'yasavta d'ganecha, hanig b'yam minig d'acheretz. And here again, many assume that de'acheretz refers to a job, a livelihood, the work ethic, and certainly there's no question that's true. But it's not limited to that, because the expression is rather extraordinary. Hanig b'hen minag de'acheretz. What is the nature of that expression? Namely, what kind of way does the world literally have? A more appropriate statement, lichora, would have been that we should be noy kiminik hamedina, the way of all people. So Abban Soloveitchik suggested that this language of hanig ben minig de'acheretz has the following intent. And in this case, the Rambam cannot agree with this interpretation, but the Balamor might very well agree with it. The Balamor was masking with the Zohar in Parshas Vayikra on the Copernican view that the earth revolves around the sun. The Balamor in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. There he comments on this issue, and he has a machlokes with the Rambam over there. And so Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, that the whole idea of acting according to the way of the world is based on the premise that the earth revolves around the sun. The earth, we know, makes a number of motions. In the course of the year, the earth completes a revolution around the sun. Each day it revolves around its own axis. Human beings as well make two revolutions. While people rotate about their own being, considering their existence and role on a constant basis, they also make a slow rotation around the sun, the light of wisdom. In other words, we're commanded to revolve around all branches of knowledge. Since that's the way of the world, kach darko shel olam, astronomically, physically, and obviously in parallel, spiritually as well. The third idea that we noted at the very beginning of this discussion is that work brings about self-fulfillment. The Gemara says in Makkos Chesem and Aleph, if in the course of a Rebbe teaching a Talmud or a son, a parent or teacher hit or accidentally, chas v'shalom, killed the Talmud, then I'm mechuyav to run to Ari Miklat, and I'm not discussing that issue, the pros and cons of hitting. I am completely opposed to it, unqualifiedly, unreservedly, absolutely. Certainly in our door, I remember speaking to Hagoyin Avdem Solshlit a number of times. The Gemara says the person is makib b'nei agodol, even if they even, he might hit you back. So Avdem Sol told me, today, makib b'nei akodin is also even if they even, he'll also hit you back. And even though there are those who cite the Gemara in Makkos and Psukim, Chesech Shifta Yisayin B'nei, V'ayav HaSheikh Musa, but I heard from Hagoyin Rav Olba, Zechatzai Debracha, many, many times, completely opposed to this kind of approach to raising children. That's a separate discussion, not for now. But also, the Gemara says in Makkos, going back to Havar Nalevi Zalavichik, that one does not go to your Miklat. And the Gemara says over there in Makkos, they're teaching a son or a Talmud, and they hit and accidentally kill them. So whether they've been teaching Torah, or an umnus or a trade, they're not culpable. When the Rambam quotes this halacha in Hilchos Motzeach, Perakei Halacha Hei, the Rambam says that parents and teachers are not held responsible for accidents occurring in the process of teaching Torah. And he writes, Torah, Chochma, O umnus. That's the Lashon HaRambam. They're teaching either Torah, Chochma, or umnus. So on what basis does the halacha extend to general knowledge or to a trade? So the Rogachov Goin, Rabbi Yosef Rosenzatzal, says the Rambam includes these topics within the mitzvah of acting the Fidarko Shalom. Why are a trade and general education so important? The concept of having a trade is not just a means to an end to make a living. If one is living off someone else's work, even if one is not a pauper and doesn't have to beg for money, there's a lack of self-fulfillment. When one acts lefi darko shel olam, it means that one has to be engaged in everything that's conducive to the establishment of society and one's identity. The fourth perspective that we mentioned at the beginning is fairly obvious. We indicated that the study of Mada or Chochma in order to apply Torah to all the vicissitudes of life. I heard from Agoyin Rav Nevinsol Shlita that his Rebbe, Hagoyin of Shlomo Zalman Oyerbach Zatzal. They never called him, as I mentioned in the past, he never called him Rav Shlomo Zalman, he called him Maran Harav Zatzal. He had such yiras hakovid for the Gadol HaDor, he couldn't even say his name without Ra'oda. So he told me that when he sent the Kuntres HaChashmal that he wrote as a very young man, I think he was in his early 20s, he sent the Kuntres that he wrote on electricity to the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In order to be able to write that kuntres, he studied electricity for an extended period of time, many, many, many months. And how did he do so? As far as I know, he did not attend any of the universities that are well known here in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have a formal kind of training, but he did a number of things. He consulted electricians, people who are mumchen in chashmal. He also read extensively, Kach Shamati, Mimoran Harav Nevinsol Shlita, on a number of occasions. So in order to rule out a halacha involving electricity, one has to have a rudimentary knowledge of electricity, of physics. In order to rule out a case of Bikuach Nefesh, should this operation be performed, should it not be performed, a person has to know some basic biology and physiology. And the Gdol Yisrael, we know, consulted doctors, consulted scientists, Yadua. I heard myself from Rav Nevinsol Shlita on a number of occasions. And I also heard from Professor Avraham Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomov, who's written much on medicine. I think he's originally from South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. So he has many, many works in halacha, in Dal Chelga Shulchan Aruch relating to medicine and the like. And so there's no question he was a Ben Bayis in the house of Agoyin of Shomel Zalman Oyebar Zatzal. And so was Professor Lev, whom I knew personally, the one who built Machon Lev. He was a Ben Bayis. He was a Talmud Chacham Otzum, master Talmud Chacham. He basically, to use the parlance, he used to hang out in the homes of Gedolei Yisrael. That's a good hanging out. That's what one should do. That's the ideal, to hang out in the homes of Gedolei Yisrael. So these Gedolei Yisrael certainly had contact with individuals who are very well knowledgeable in the areas of science and medicine. And that's exactly what the Rambam writes in a tshuva. He says very clearly that when he studied all the secular disciplines, he took them kirakochos v'tabochos la'teira. I can translate it literally. You have to be like a cook and a butcher and a baker for the sake of Torah. But all of it was to enhance his ability to understand Torah in the most profound way. And let's just mention now the fifth perspective that we began with from Rabbanu Levi Soloveitchik, to show the beauty of the Torah to all the nations and the peoples of the world. So he mentioned, Rabbanu, a sefer which is not so well known today, Bina Le'itim, by Rav Azariah Figo, an old sefer from several hundred years ago. It's a mitzvah to study Tkufos Mazalos, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Ayin Hei. Ki chochmaschem uvinaschem le'ein ha'amin. I was zeche in my lifetime a number of times to meet Hagoyin Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Many, many years ago, my first encounter with him, I discussed the issue of Pasavo B'Kisnin, which is one of my favorite issues, the so-called, what they call, the plane, airplane mezainos. Airplane mezainos, he told me, is halachic skullduggery. People are koveya on that, and there's no question they eat a meal with it. The mechuyi to make hamotzi ain't makom this topic. I've heard that from every single Rosh Hashiva and every single Rav that I've known for the last almost 50 years. Anyway, Rabbi Belsky, I didn't see this, but I heard from Talmidim of mine, those who were in the summer with him in camp, that literally there were points that they would all be lying down at nighttime. The entire camp was lying on the grass, on the grassy knoll. Rabbi Belsky also was there on the grass knoll. And exactly what he was doing, he was showing them, as they say, was tutzach in Himmel, what's going on upstairs in Shamayim. And just as Shmuel, the great Shmuel, said, Nehirilo shvili derekia ki shvili denado, he knew the paths of heaven as well as he knew the streets of Nado. The same can be said about Agon Rabbi Yisrael Belsky Zatzal. And it came about through, he was clearly autodidactic. Again, he did not go beyond high school, but he was someone well-versed in math and physics and chemistry. This I heard from a number of Gedolei Yisrael who knew him very, very well. And that's how the Rambam also speaks of Kirakochos v'Tabochos. He was a Boki in astronomy, Agoyin Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, a Boki Otzum. And when they asked him the Mokar, he quoted this Sefer, Bina Le'itim, and the Gemara in Shabbos, Ki chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amin. And the Psak, or the Pasuk rather, brought by the Gemara in this case, emphasized the level at which we have to influence our surroundings. What does the Pasuk say? Ushmartem va'asisem, ki chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amin. Asher yushmon, es kol ha'goy me'ele v'yomru, rakam chochem b'novon ha'goy ha'godol hazeh. The study of nature serves as a tool for observance and performance, and unquestionably, that's included. So the Rambam started Sefer HaMadah with the Pasuk, Mishay Chazdecha L'yaydecha V'tzikoscha L'yayshrei Lev. Why should the Rambam have sought a Pasuk that deals with charity and goodness to introduce the Sefer HaMadah? Many Jews have won Nobel Prizes. Many Jews are proficient in all areas of science and humanities. But that would not suffice to convince the world to say, Rakam chochem b'novom hagoy agod l'azeh. Rather, as the Rambam tells us here, only if our knowledge leads to ethical behavior and even greater to tzedakah, to chesed, to yashrus, in the way that Hashem shows us these traits, only then will we be successful in inspiring the entire world. If you a few more minutes, I will just continue and finish this aspect of the Baron Halevi Soloveitchik. There was a professor who taught Tanakh in college. He came to the Baron's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He wanted to know whether biblical criticism, of course, he would teach it with his own personal refutation of it, could that be proper source material? And his father said, Chas v'shalom. And then his father brought out the Rif, Amasech HaSanhedrin Perichelik, because the Mishnah writes in Chelik, a well-known Mishnah, anyone who reads Svar Machitzainim, Ein Lo Chelik Golam Haba. There are a number of different opinions of Rishainim. What does it mean, Svar Machitzainim? So the Rif there interprets Svar Machitzainim, including Perushim HaTanach without the Masorah of Chazal. And that's a massive problem today. I'm involved with this issue my entire rabbinic life, many, many decades. The Rif says, someone who learns Tanakh without the Masorah of Chazal, I feel the Dvarim Tovim Shebahem, there may be some good ideas. You can't read it. So it would appear that this is against the famous Rambam, Kabbalas Emes Misha Emre. The Rambam always says, accept the truth wherever it comes from. And the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChidush Kayadua brings many theories based on Greek scholars. So why should we hesitate to search for truth in Svar Machitzainim? And a related question, said Abaran Soloveitchik, arises from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Lamaches in the days. Rabbi Yochanan said, Da, Masha Toshiv, you have to know how to answer a heretic applies only to a non-Jew. Why should we engage in the same type of dialogue with a Jewish heretic? Does it imply that someone who's, let's say, a non-believer, Freud, it's us, sir, even the good ideas that are found in them? So Rabbi Aaron said that my father, Rabbi Meshia Soloveitchik Zatzal, believed just because a Jew is an apikeris or a heretic doesn't mean that you can't read that person's writings in general. Just because Freud wrote pieces like Moses and Monotheism, which is heresy, there's no reason not to study his work on the intricacies of human nature and the depths of the human psyche. What the Rif meant when he said that even the good ideas of the writings of the Kofrim is with regard to those Apikursim whose endeavor is to undermine the Kedusha Satira. Aristotle and Hippocrates never set out to undermine the religious foundation. Freud, he was an Apikures, but his goal was not to uproot the ideas of the Torah. And therefore, you can study the positive elements of their research and the like. However, Bible critics, Talmudic critics, their goal by definition is to undermine the Kedusha Satira. Chas v'shalom, that one should enter their portals. And the words of the Rif are exactly addressed because he described these people, he says over there, tshuvasam b'tzidam, people with answers by their side. Although some individuals, we might say they're victims of negative teachings, but they possess streaks of kfira, of heresy within the outlook. But if someone's primary goal is to uproot the kedusha satera, then tshuvasa b'tzidam, shoyva b'tzidam. Because even though within their discourse it appears that there's a lot of MS, but a lot of it is deceptive, is misleading. And the Rif says these works are awesome because yesh b'hem tzad minus. There's a heretical side. Why does the Rif refer to the evil side? Aren't these writings entirely harmless? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained, the danger of these Svar Machitzainim is the writing which appears, on the one hand, not dangerous, but on the other hand, there's a evil element that's found there as well. So Abaran Soloveitchik commented that he read Wellhausen. Wellhausen, of course, is one of the foremost, one of the earliest of the Bible critics, and he saw that their intent is not to explain the Tanakh with intellectual honesty, but to undermine the Kedusha Satira. If that's their intent, schor schor nezira l'kam v'cholei sikov. Let's just end with also a comment of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rashi quotes in Bereishis that the way in which Yaakov Avinu blessed his grandchildren Ephraim and Manasseh is the formula for all fathers to employ when they give a bracha to their children. Many people do this on Friday nights. My father, Shalom Minig, was to do it Erev Yom Kippur. Yisimcha Elokim ki Ephraim Menashe. What was so unique about Ephraim and Menashe that all of Klal Yisrael should be blessed? So Chazal tell us, and Rashi cites it, and this is mentioned by many, Ephraim's occupation was the study of Torah. He was the son of Yosef. Yosef was taught all that his father had learned from Yaakov Avinu, and that he studied in the yeshiva of Shem Be'er, and that's what was given over to Yaakov's grandson, to Ephraim, who was Rogel Eitzel. He was Rogel by his Zeda. Menashe, in contrast, was a worldly person. He clearly knew languages. He's the Meturgamon. He's familiar with different branches of wisdom. Not everyone can be Ephraim. Unfortunately, we haven't yet come to the Pasuk Yeshayahu, where all the people will be Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach Halavai Bekarov. Learned B'darkei Hashem, as the Navi says over there in Perek Nun Dalet. It's not yet arrived. So when Yaakov blessed his grandsons, the Torah tells us, Sik Elas Yodav. He placed his right hand on Ephraim, who stood on his left, and his left hand on Menashe, at his right hand side. What does that symbolize? The Sik Elas Yodav. The placement of Yaakov's hands, one over the other, says to us that the integration between the training of Ephraim and Menashe has to take place. Every Ephraim has to have a bit of Menashe. Without a touch of Menashe, there'll be a lack of manhigim to rule on current questions in halacha, and a dearth of great men who can inspire the world with their erudition in Torah, science, and the overall beauty of life. But every Menashe as well certainly has to pride himself on being like Ephraim, versed in Torah. When the sons of Torah, B'nai Torah, are also, as the Gemara says, Al Tikri Banayich and Abonayich, then we'll have Shalom, as well as the colossal Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of the name of Hashem Yisbarach.